I would give credit to Debo for going up and taking it away, but Marcus Peters was turned around for whatever reason. He never picked up the ball, or he picked up the ball and he didn't figure out where Debo was, because by the time he tried to turn and adjust to the ball, he crashed into Debo, who had already jumped up for the football. So I give Jimmy G credit for throwing that up there, but I think that was more of a Debo Samuel play to make that play as opposed to pinpoint accuracy with a throw. He had one of his incompletes, which went right through the hands of Debo Samuel. High ball that just, I think first quarter, kind of went whistling through. I would give him a higher mark, Joe, but it's that one fumble that seems to rear its ugly head every week.
So flat B?
Flat B.
85.
Yeah, 84.
84?
Yeah,
84.
But a flat B, right in that B range.
Where are you at?
Yeah. Probably,
outside of that giant wad of paper towel that's up your nose.
Yeah.
How you doing? You all right? You going to make it?
I'm fighting it, Joe. I'm fighting it. I'm going to have to get a little medicine here when we get out of here. I'd give him a B minus.
Rub some manure on it.
You know what? That usually doesn't work.
I was driving through
nose.
Central Valley recently, coming back from Yosemite.
Yeah, you didn't.
A lot of people selling manure. Why don't you rub some on?
Yeah, they do. It's good for the plant. It's good for the soil. Keeps that soil nice, and manure is really good. You can't put too much. Sometimes it'll burn the top soil.
So
as
just
well.
Put a little bit on your face.
Yeah, no. Warts, you do a little bit of, you know, you can use urine for warts if you have that. Ooh. You could do that.
What? But,
no. No, you can't.
Yeah,
you go see a doctor.
That's Moises Alou used to do that to soften his hands when he would bat.
Yeah, see that? Thank you. It's,
urinate on his hands?
Yes, look it up, Joe. It's a fact.
I'm not going to look that up.
Anywho.
Fact or not, I'm not looking
Use the word
up.
Computer and Google it. You don't want that in your search history.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Any thoughts on Garoppolo? How would you grade him?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go B minus. I think that you look at that situation, and I think it starts to be it's sort of an individual that once something becomes a habit, if I tell you that pie is, you know, 3.14, if you got it all and you don't know how to add, keep using that, and you're like, God, I got to keep telling, just use this. Protect the ball. That's pie. That you can't solve the problem. You don't have the pie.
Life of pie.
Life of pie.
Mount Piemore.
Like, yeah. And so you're having this happen week in, week out. Touchdowns, turning on the touchdowns. You look at these teams that keep scoring off of you and say, you're going to fumble. Quarterback's going to fumble. But now it's starting to become more of a habit. Jimmy's got to get this thing solved. And I guarantee you, Kyle Shanahan's in his ear and say, Jimmy, you can't turn this ball. You got to stop this. Jimmy, this is going to toss the championship. Jimmy G, we're good enough to win this year. Jimmy G, you got to protect the football. You got to protect. You got to learn pie. Learn the ball. You got to protect the football. This is becoming, it's too many opportunities that are squandering this team, and that turned into 7 points. You can beat anybody in the league. We all agree this defense is a Super Bowl type of defense. We all agree this offense can run the ball against anybody. We all agree we got arguably the best tight end in the league. Now, quarterback, don't lose the game for us. We know you got capable of winning. You're a gunslinger. You got all those attributes, what I love. But you got to protect the ball, especially when you're on our own 20. You got to protect it. So that's why I'm giving him a B minus.
Turnovers are a big deal. Without question, that led to 7, which made the game 14-7 Baltimore, and it could have started to get away from him there. He's trying to do too much. But I wonder if you try to coach that out of him, how that's going to hurt the positive. Because the positive will be affected. If you watch him play, there are guys. Peyton Manning was really good at this. Brady's really good at this. You get to a certain point in your career, you drop back, you see it all going to you know what, you live to fight another down. They just drop to the ground. They're not even going to take the contact. That's next level. That's next level. Garoppolo's not there yet. And I don't even know if you want Garoppolo doing that anyway, because some people would go, what are you doing? Derek Carr took a lot of heat yesterday because he is too willing to throw the ball away on third down. Derek, you need to make a play. You're down 24. Find a tight window, risk the INT. Throwing it away is not going to do anything. That's not going to help your team at all. That was an embarrassment yesterday from start to finish. They
Agreed.
Were not ready to play that game.
Agreed. Two weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row indeed. So you're obviously noticing a trend. They play at home, they've got a shot. They go on the road, forget about it. They're not built for that yet. It's going to take some time. But back to Garoppolo, he's fumbling the ball because if you go back and you watch that sequence, it's not the first hit that gets him, it's the second. He's trying to do a lot. He's trying to scramble. He's trying to pick up yardage. You notice this throughout the course of the game. He's going head first on a few plays. He's taking shots because he's trying to make plays. If you coach that out of him, you're not going to get the touchdown you got to Debo Samuel at the beginning of the game. That's a fact. That this is what happens with the gunslinger mentality. This is what happens with the gambler mentality. You take the good with the bad. Yes, he's got to protect that ball. And when that first guy hit him yesterday, the smart move is to go down. But he tried to stay up. He tried to make a play. And as a result, the second guy came in and knocked the ball free. That's going to happen. But if you take that away, he's not on fourth and two going to take a shot at the end zone in double coverage in the pouring rain. That's a gamble as well. So you got to ask yourself what you're willing to live with, right? If you want to live with safe, Alex Smith is your guy. He's the guy that on third and six, he's going to get you four, and then you can punt. You'll be nice and safe with Alex Smith. There are a lot of guys around the league that play nice and safe. I don't know if you want that. With this defense and this running game, maybe it would be better suited to have a safer quarterback, a guy who truly does manage the game more. This guy's not looking to manage the game. He's looking to win the game. So you got to ask yourself what you're willing to live with, because that mentality is it's the same thing we saw with Brett Favre. That mentality, the fourth and two chuck down the sideline, the low percentage play that results in a touchdown, that's also going to lead to some negatives.
Right, and I think the negative you're willing to live with is the throw. When you need a throw and he makes it and it's an interception, in this case, I think it's a situation where you want him to continue to evolve his quarterback instincts to, like you're saying, you get that first hit, second defender's coming in, just close up shop and make sure you have the ball wrapped up at all costs. You can't afford to, as Lo was saying, on your own 20, the negative 20, give up the ball in that spot. If you're in midfield and you're trying to make a play, then you're going to give your defense a greater chance, because at that point, you're up 7-0, and if he's able to hold on to that football, you punt it away, make Baltimore have to earn their first touchdown by going down the full field. You make a good point about the gambler mentality. I don't want to sacrifice that, because he made a couple big throws earlier where he spins away from the pass rush. He did a complete 360, rolled right a little bit, kept the play alive. You can't have that without having some of the ball handling, but it's happening too regularly for me right now.
I don't mind the aggressiveness. Like you said, I don't mind that. Russell Wilson's aggressive. Kyler Murray, those guys are aggressive. I love that he's aggressive. He's a gunslinger. It's ball security. It's when you're here with the ball, then you got to put the ball away. You got to tuck the ball, and you can't necessarily hold it. So it's little things. You can still be aggressive. You can still be the gunslinger, but you got to protect the football. You got to protect the football. You got to do a better job doing the drills, knowing when to put it away, how you're putting it away, and understand, hey, look, if you're going to stay up, then fine. I don't care. I want you aggressive, but you need to learn how to protect the football. That's what I want. I don't mind interception, but I want a guy that's going to protect the football, especially not just give another team a short field when you have an opportunity to win.
You know what's crazy is that today, and I'm not ever going to come in and sell moral victories in professional sports. There's no moral victories in professional sports. College sports, amateur sports, sure. Not professional sports. So there's no moral victory in what happened in Baltimore yesterday. But I will say that since we're going to talk for 4 hours, we're going to dissect everything on this game. Think about where we are today versus where we were like 2 years ago talking Niner football on a Monday after a game. Or last year, even, after a game. Like, they just went to Baltimore, took on the team that pretty much everyone on the planet's going to tell you is the best team in football. You gave them the best run anyone's given them all season. Your only two losses this year, you're 10-2 in December. My whole thought this season was, come early December, right now, when I see you on Sunday Night Football and those graphics go up showing the playoff hunt, I wanted you in the hunt. You're not in the hunt. You're 10-2.
You are the hunt.
You are the hunt. You're the hunter getting hunted. Like, you are in such a great situation. We're coming in today after a 3-point loss to Baltimore, talking about a 4th-and-1 call that, you know, it makes sense. We're talking about an end of first half game management situation that I can see it both ways. We're talking a quarterback that he made a mistake, but it wasn't. Think about what you're talking about in Philadelphia today with your quarterback. Think about what you're talking about today if Daniel Jones is your guy. What if Baker Mayfield's your guy?
Wow.
Where were the Browns yesterday?
Oh my.
Freddie Kitchens showed up for that game in a t-shirt that said Pittsburgh started it. They lost the game as favorites in Pittsburgh, who was on their third-string quarterback, and then immediately Pittsburgh had t-shirts out that said, Pittsburgh finished it. Like, how sloppy of a coach do you have to be to show up looking like that?
He let those guys get to his head. Freddie Kitchens is doing something he shouldn't be doing. He's letting Baker and his team try to get to his head, and it's killing him. The guy's going to be gone after this year.
They are a disaster.
Disaster.
And this is what we're nitpicking today.
Right.
So, like, you know, life is good. No moral victories, but life is pretty good.
You went toe-to-toe with the league MVP, and you held him in check for the most part, especially in the second half. And you were one play away from pulling off another improbable victory. So it's good perspective to offer there.
Coach, in their previous four games, they had defeated those four opponents by an average of 31 points a game.
An average of 31.
Average.
Not a total of 31.
They outscored New England, Cincinnati, Houston, and the Rams. 172-46. The Rams game was on Monday night in L.A. The Houston game was the Texans coming off the bye. The Cincinnati game, there's no upside there. And the New England game, it's the Patriots. You beat those four teams by an average of 31.5 points per game. And oh, by the way, your defense went to Baltimore for the early start time and held the Ravens to their lowest offensive output of the season. So you come away today, really the only concern is the fact that you have got to be kidding me. A 10-2 record could have you as the 5 seed after tonight's Monday night game. Kirk Cousins, save us. Anyone like him tonight? If you get the 3, I like him. That's where the smart money's going to be. I know everyone's going to say, well, that's what you said about the Rams. Smart money's not right 100% of the time. But if you follow smart money 100% of the time, you are going to turn a profit. Smart money's going to be on Vikings plus 3 tonight. I don't know. Cousins in primetime. And now that crowd knowing that they can take the division with a win tonight? That's what worries me.
They've been such an uncertain proposal too, Seattle. I mean, they've obviously done well at 9-2, but as far as covering the number, you mentioned the egg they laid against Cincinnati, still able to win.
Only covered one spread at home this season. It was overtime against the Buccaneers.
They're 7-1 in one score game. So as much as we always think, and you said this before, Joe, about Seattle maybe being a house of cards, they continue to find ways to win. But getting the 3 might be the play because Seattle's been winning all these games by 2 points, 1 point.
They have a negative scoring differential at home. In there, I want to say 5 home games, they have been outscored at home. They beat Cincinnati by 1. They beat the Rams by, I think it was 1. They had a win over the Bucks by 6, but they lost by 14 to the Ravens, and then they also lost to the Saints in what was, I think, a one-score game as well. Negative scoring differential.
Right. I see fireworks in this game.
You like an over?
I like the over.
Sitting at 50. They're telling you flat out they think there's going to be fireworks.
This is going to be fireworks. Minnesota's going to light them up. They're going to light Minnesota up. This is going to be a good game. I can see you like the 3. I don't see why not.
Kirk Cousins is why not.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins in primetime. I don't think he's ever won on Monday night.
You like that?
And he did just win on Sunday night a couple weeks ago, but some would say that was more of Dallas's ineptitude than it was of Minnesota going out and taking it.
I think Minnesota can run the ball on them. I think it's going to be epic. It's going to be a good battle. I don't think it's
your life
blowout.
Is on the line. You will die unless you pick it accurately. Who are you taking with the spread?
His head cold's not that bad.
Yeah, the head cold's going to get worse. It's going to end you.
Wow, it's crazy.
Time to get to the test.
I know, but isn't it crazy how you set these things up? Like, you know, give us a little perspective, and then all of a sudden you're like, no, I want to hear it. What are you going to do? I mean.
You forced me to do it. It's like, who do you like? Well, I like the over. I didn't ask you if there were going to be a lot of points scored.
I would be safe. I would take the safe bet and go with home team.
You would go with the Vikings? The Seattle minus 3? Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
I'm St. George, St. Pugh. You know, your life is on the line.
Yeah, you got to lock that up.
I mean, the head cold.
You're not locking that up.
Pretty soon the head cold. I mean, your whole head explodes if Minnesota wins.
That would be grilled cheese everywhere.
Seriously.
Grilled cheese all over the Bay Area. It's like, why is there all this Gouda dripping from the Bay Bridge? Lowe's head exploded. What does that even mean?
That was good. I had to laugh.
Oh man. Honestly, though, that's what it comes down to tonight. Today's Take Your Pick poll question brought to you by FH Daily Chevrolet. If it's not on the website now, it'll be up soon. 957thegame.com. Dibs, will the 49ers win the NFC West?
Yes, I still believe they will, and I think it comes down to that Seattle game and the adjustments will be made, and I think that they'll be able to beat Seattle. If they can beat the Saints, even if Seattle wins tonight, you beat the Saints, you keep Seattle at bay, and you set it all up for that final game in Week 17.
If you're rooting to win the Super Bowl, actually, no, I got to get your question. Do you see him winning the division?
I do. I too, I'm with Dibs, same church, same pew, and he's sitting on my lap, as usual.
Same draws? Someone sent me, they make same draws for couples.
Yeah, we saw that.
It's really
odd. Really
odd.
I'm keeping my distance away from old Sickie over there. And I feel bad for...
I just got healthy, too.
Guru's on the mic chair over there today. So, Guru, you may want to bring some antiseptic.
I can't wait to hear what he thought about Thanksgiving. I cannot wait to hear his thoughts about Thanksgiving.
About the Cowboys?
The Saints.
I thought they played great.
I think they're soft.
He came in here.
NFC East is such a joke. One of those porta potties is going to play in the postseason.
They're going to host unacceptable. In the postseason.
Josh Allen, little fireball boy, beat him. Beat up on him. I said,
he's coming around.
He's coming around.
Baltimore's hosting Baltimore this weekend. Buffalo is hosting Baltimore.
But I like the way you said it, because two teams like to run the ball. Two teams, physical. Baltimore hosting Baltimore. Bills and Baltimore, they both are two teams. They're going to be very, very physical. They both play the same type of ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
There's a newsflash. Football's going to be physical.
I told Guru they're going down. Dallas Cowboys, they suck.
Did you like the Bills in that game on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I picked them. I won money.
He didn't like it on Wednesday during Low versus Dibs. But yeah. See, Low versus Dibs, he's on Dallas. So
I don't know if you want to be making jokes down 18.
I can pull up my.
You're losing more than a game a week to him.
I can pull up my.
And look at this guy. He's got.
You could pull up all you want to pull up.
Paper towels up his nostril.
That I won. I did pick. And I asked Guru. I told him, I said, your boys are losing. And I won money on Buffalo.
This is what we call a classic Kaganakis. It's a classic Kaganakis. When Low versus Dibs, you pick Dallas, and then whatever you did on your little app over there, that's fine.
Because I listened to Joe. Joe's like, hey, look, if the guy picks, why go again? I'm winning. Exactly. And I said, you know what?
You're smart. I'm hot right now. Yeah. Not in college. Don't listen to my college picks. I'll be very clear. You got to go the opposite way with those.
LSU took care of me this weekend. I took LSU.
LSU minus -6 against Georgia in the SEC championship.
Oh, now you're asking me that one, too? Oh, yeah.
I told you I can't pick college. I'm asking you.
LSU.
Joe Burrow?
LSU. Boy.
We're very thankful for Joe Burrow.
Oh, I love
Tigers. Hey, yo, man, take a playoff.
Guys, unstoppable. Baylor, +9.5 against Oklahoma, Big 12 championship.
Baylor.
You like plus points?
Yep.
Redemption game. Ohio State, -1 million versus Wisconsin. Ohio State. Poor Jim, 0-5 against Ohio State.
Old Jim.
Jim, get out of there, damn it.
Luckily,
get out!
No one was there to see it, though, fortunately for him. 108,000, I think, at the Big House.
Well, Baylor and Utah, Baylor's trying to make sure they make it to that Final Four, so they need this one big.
You're a mess. Look at you. You got paper towels shoved up everything. You're just leaking from everywhere.
Oh, he's leaking.
He has a 64 Chevy. Get out of here.
You got to put that cardboard in the driveway when you park low. That way you don't ruin the concrete. Yes, it was needed.
Low's a car you park in the front yard.
On the yard. On the lawn. Put that thing on blocks.
You know, y'all going to miss me when I'm going, boy. Y'all just take shots.
Probably. It's probably. It's possible. It might not be probable.
If possible, not probable.
Richard Sherman says he's going to play. There were some injuries we got to get to from yesterday's game. Richard Sherman... It's a sprained knee. He said he doesn't think he's going to practice this week. He might take some days off, but he says he's going to go for the Saints. Drew's got to be licking his lips at that one, right?
Yeah.
Injured corner?
Yeah, the fullback came out there and put that bomb on Richard Sherman. I saw that. He came on the line because they were trying to stop putting that heavy personnel, so they got everyone in the box, and he's playing on the inner line. They brought the big boy out there on it. That big boy, he's 290 pounds.
The fullback from Baltimore.
Baltimore.
You got to tip your cap to Richard Sherman. We always talk about what a great cover corner he is.
He was physical yesterday.
Physical, bro.
He was flying like a missile. He was trying to take, and Harbaugh got mad at him.
Earl was on the other side. They were both trying to show out in that game. That's why you go to the Hall of Fame, because those are the games that you somehow find another level.
Gear. Yeah, they did. Boy, Rich was hunting.
But with all the stars. Tark got hurt, too. He took that knee to the ribs. Look, like I don't know what the diagnosis was on that. If anyone's got it, that did not look pleasant.
Throw some ice on that thing. Stim it. That's all you do. Shoot it up. Be good to go.
Stick a paper towel in it. Should be fine.
Yeah, stuff a wad in your nostril. And by the way, your other nostril needs some attention. So as we go to break,
you might
want to work on righty a little bit, because all the blockage on lefty is causing righty to leak a little there, kid. There's your scouting report. There's your look at Australia.
Batman called. His cave's occupied. That just came to me. That's the brilliance of just operating.
Y'all on the road this morning. You two are just crazy.
It's going to be back.
Give the guy 5 days to prepare.
Right.
You know? Lots of material. What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Dialpad. I'll tell you what's coming up on the game. Jerry Rice. We'll figure out what the GOAT has to say about what he saw yesterday. Lowe's going to get organized. We're going to be back. Joe Lowe at Dibs. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs.
There'll be brighter days ahead
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Jerry Rice, three-time Super Bowl champ, Hall of Famer. You know him, you love him. He's coming up in about 8 minutes here on 95.7 The Game. Big difference. Big difference between what you saw yesterday in Baltimore versus some of the other games we've watched this season. There is a much smaller margin for error. Yesterday, you can count on your hand the amount of mistakes the 49ers made. And even some of them are still up for debate. Still up for debate as to whether or not they should have run on fourth and one. You can talk about it. You can sit there and say, Kyle's been such a masterful play caller. Why would we doubt the throw? Because if he completes it, we come in here talking about him being a genius. And if it goes incomplete, then we come in and question, well, you should have gone with Raheem Mostert. Point being, that's what people like us do. We second guess that stuff. We talk about it because we love the game. We love the team. And that was a massive showdown yesterday in Baltimore. But the reality is you take a Garoppolo fumble. You take what may have been too conservative of an approach before the half, a fourth and one, a couple penalties, and that's it. That's the difference between winning and losing against the best team in the NFL in their building. And if that's a sign of things to come, I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it because you learn from that sort of thing. There are no moral victories, but you come away from that one yesterday, there's not a soul in this country that's going to question whether or not the Niners are legit.
No, or whether or not they're up to the task. And you look at the way they lost their two games. They've been walked off twice by kickers in expiring clock scenarios. That's not a bad way to go, especially when you were mentioning before we went to break all the teams that suffered embarrassing losses this week. Not just losses, but embarrassing losses, ill-timed losses, etc. Arizona, Philadelphia, Dallas, we can go around the league. Cool. So the fact that you're 10-2 with two nail-biter losses, and you go in that locker room, and Lowe can speak to this better than anyone, there probably weren't a lot of angry players in the locker room after the game. You're disappointed. Sure, you want to win, but everybody in there is holding their head high. Even if you made one of the mistakes that you were talking about, there's still no head. There's no one dropping their head, is there, Lowe, after that game?
No, you're out of there saying, man, we let that one get away, but you're like, man, we were just right there. I think these two teams are going to, I think they'll meet again, but I think that you leave this game saying the team with them end up with the ball last probably wins this game. I think that you're both these two teams are that good. It's going to be that type of, I think next time they meet, that's what they're saying, hey, end up with the ball. Whatever team has the ball last has an opportunity to win it. That's how close these two teams are. But no, you don't hold your head down. Joe, you came out with some unbelievable stats. The last five games, what'd you say, 31?
In the four games prior to the Niners,
yeah,
the Ravens went 4-0, winning by an average of 31 points per game. Patriots, 31. Bengals, Texans, Rams, 31 points per game they won by.
That, okay, if you think about it. Texans that they played. He's talking about the Rams. You're talking about the Patriots.
Those are Ohio State numbers.
These are three teams that are still fighting. Three teams that probably may make the playoffs. Well, two for sure. And the third one with the Rams.
Rams still would be a game back if Minnesota loses tonight.
Rams, stop. We're not doing that.
They
are not going to the playoffs.
It's just a fact.
I know that they're
a game back if
not
Minnesota
going.
Loses.
Lock it up. Play your little lock
play
sound. They're not going to the playoffs.
They stink. Yeah, but I was making a statement that this
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at him trying to give me the mathematics of it.
I'll slow it down for you if you want.
Mathematically, has Miami been eliminated?
Yeah, I believe they have.
You believe they have?
I'd have to run the numbers, Joe.
I'm not going to sit here and go through all these scenarios. The Rams are not going to the playoffs. They're not going to the playoffs. Just because they beat Arizona, which Cliff Kingsbury, I hope you enjoyed your bye week. Nice performance. I had the Cardinals plus +3.
Yeah, so did I. Running out of there. Cliff, you're gone, Cliffy.
What was Cliffy. He doing? Like, how you had 2 weeks to get ready for that game? How are you going to get run out of your own gym?
Ill-prepared.
You get beat that bad. You get beat that bad at home? Come on, buddy.
I'll take this, though. If I'm going to bet on a game and I'm going to lose it, I'll lose it like that. I turn that off immediately.
Yeah.
That game left the TV. That game left my peripheral faster than a hummingbird. That's even an apt analogy. Hummingbirds seem to move pretty quick.
Yeah, they dart. You poop, it's gone. No, I like it. I like you just throwing them out there now. It's starting to rub off. I love it.
Yeah, feel good.
You should feel great.
I did quite a bit of drinking yesterday, so it's still in me.
But 31. Let's get back to the point. 31. That's what the average day meant. And you went in there and went in that place, especially in M&T, where that place is hostile, and you went toe-to-toe and trade blow for blow, body blow. You hit them in a body blow. They hit you in the head. You went to the head, the cranium as well. They knocked grilled cheese. You knocked cheese off. I mean, that was a
grilled
big
cheese
time,
all over that
all
field
over
yesterday.
That stadium. So when you think about what they've been able to do, these are two equally balanced teams. The Niners looked out of there and said, hey, we had a chance. And let me tell you, Ravens know that team, who they are, that was a physical game. And I think right now, you look at it, I still think that this 49er team best team in the NFC.
And I think the Ravens look now at the film and they say, okay, 31, we see you now, Raheem. It's not going to be a case where he sneaks up on them again, because we all know that the Niners wanted to run the ball. And without Matt Breida, the expectation would be Tevin Coleman's going to get some. Breida might get a little bit. Jeff Wilson Jr., sure, he might run a touch, but it's going to be by committee. I don't think any of us saw what took place, which was 19 carries for boiler up, hammer down, low, and 146 yards for Raheem Mostert. This is a guy who, back in the beginning of the season, we were talking about whether or not he'd be even on the roster. And, well, he's so good on special teams, you got to keep him around. And now come to find out, yeah, he's your featured back in a game against the best team in football.
Especially in that type of weather. He works well. You know, he's used to playing in that Lafayette. Bowler up, hammer down. He knows that type of weather. That weather's bad.
A lot of
bad
sloppy, games,
a lot of sloppy
games.
But I tell you right now, you talk about how they're feeling. I'm telling you, they got on the plane, and so many guys, we looked at Williams, and they laughed. It's like, hey, you know, you got to hang it. When Lamar Jackson set him down, you know, when he
Kayvon,
no question, guys are even though you lost, guys are laughing. You're in that film meeting. You're watching your tape and looking like, what happened? Hey, bro, you okay? I mean, he shook him out of his drawers. So guys aren't they wanted to win, of course, but I don't think they're holding their head down.
You might not be viewed as the best team in the NFL today, but you have the best resume in the NFL. And that's not debatable. Some might say, well, wait a minute, what about Baltimore? Baltimore lost at home to Cleveland, all right? They don't have the best resume. They might be the best team. They don't have the best resume. New England Patriots had their pants taken down last night in Houston. They also lost in embarrassing fashion at Baltimore a few weeks ago. Seattle lost at home to Tampa Bay. They lost at home to the Saints. They also lost at home to the Ravens. You can find major flaws in every resume in the NFL, all 32 teams, including the Niners. But the Niners dings... They lost on a last-second field goal to the best team in the NFL on the road in Baltimore, and a last-second field goal in overtime to Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, who are a pretty damn good team, too. That is the best resume in the NFL. There's no team with a better resume. We go to the Dialpad guest line. Speaking of resumes, how about this one? It took me an hour and a half to read all the accomplishments, so we'll go with this. Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champ, 95.7 The Game football insider, the great Jerry Rice, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Jerry, it's always a pleasure. We hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Let's jump right into it. What did you think about yesterday's performance in Baltimore?
Well, hey, guys, it was a good played football game. Yes, we had some turnovers, and, you know, with Jimmy G, when he fumbled the ball. But I think we had a legitimate chance of winning that football game. So it's just like what Lowe said. They're not holding their head down or anything like that. We went in there. They fought hard. I think Kyle Shanahan, he hit it right on the nose. He said, hey, look, I was really proud of my guys for coming here and fighting this hard. But, you know, still, we got to find a way. Fourth and one. Low, you got to give that ball to that running back. You got to leave it up to that offensive line to get you that 1 yard. That hurt us, you know, doing this football game.
Sure.
Also hurt us doing the game against Seattle.
No question, Jerry. I couldn't agree with you more, especially in that type of climate. The running backs with Raheem Mostert was running very, very hard and getting to the perimeter, and where DBs and safeties now have to make a one-on-one tackle in space where, you know, where they don't have great footing. I love it. I think they should as well. But when you think about the teams that they lost to, you know, two good teams, two teams that are heading to the playoffs. You look at Baltimore, arguably could be the best team in football. You look at Seattle, I would say the second best team in NFC. Besides that, none of these teams are one, two games over 500 who they beat. Do you think this Saints team look and say, hey, guys, against teams that are in first or teams that are on the top of the division, they haven't shown that they can win? Can they win? Do you think that's what one of those calling calls that the Saints would use for motivation? And you think the Niners understand what people are saying?
You know what? Basically, I look at it as being a measuring point with the Baltimore Ravens. This team is going to be the team that's probably going to be in the Super Bowl, and I'm still thinking Niners are going to be there too. New Orleans, New Orleans is going to be a great test for us, but I feel the Niners can go into New Orleans and win that football game. So, you know, it's just the little things right now that's really costing us, and also, you know, causing us to lose ball games. You know, it's like that field goal that we missed. then the fourth and one, you know, right before that timeout, I felt like they were going to just do the quarterback sneak. But then after that timeout, they came back in the shotgun, and I knew that was not the right decision there. So, you know, I think that was a measuring point for the 49ers. We know that I feel like they're going to face this team again, and it's going to be in the Super Bowl. And, you know, like just like what happened with the Patriots last night. I mean, the Texans, they pretty much owned them. But with the San Francisco 49ers, the way they went into Baltimore and represented themselves, and they fought hard, and they still had a chance to win that football game. I'm sure, you know, they're going to come back. They're going to look at the film. They're going to be critical on themselves, and they're going to make changes, and they're going to get better as they go.
How tough is it to have to immediately go to New Orleans? I know they're going to travel to Miami or travel to Florida for the part of this week and then head to New Orleans for that game, but two tough road games back-to-back. How difficult is that physically and also mentally for the Niners?
It doesn't matter right now, guys. Everything is on the line right now. And you guys, you know, those guys are being paid the big contract.
Sure.
So, you know what? They have to show up. Even if they had came back here to the West Coast, practiced all week, got back on the plane, and went to New Orleans. There's no excuses now.
Make it plain, Jerry.
And that's it. You know, it's time to put up. It's time to show up. And look, you have your own destiny in your hands. So now it's up to that team to just gel together and say, hey, look, yeah, you know, we lost a couple and we made some mistakes. We're going to correct those mistakes. But the next battle against New Orleans, we're going to go in there and we're going to take care of what we need to take care of. And that's to beat the New Orleans Saints.
Woo! Jerry Rice is brought to you by Xfinity. Jerry, what did you think about the sequence at the end of the first half? The Niners had the ball. They had just under 2 minutes, three timeouts. They're on their own 25. They played it pretty conservatively in a couple spots, and then they ended up missing a 51-yard field goal. Some felt they could have been more aggressive and tried to angle for more yardage. Lowe's made a great case that they weren't going to risk giving the ball back to Baltimore so Lamar right. Jackson could come down the field and score. Did you have any thoughts on how that first half ended?
My thing is whenever you control your own destiny, you have to be aggressive. I always felt like we were the team to take the initiative. And, yeah, that might have been a little conservative, but you got to go down and you got to feel like, hey, you know what, we're not going to get the ball back to him, or if we give the ball back to him, we're going to score a touchdown right now. That's the most important thing. We're going to put points on the board. And I that conservative nature is something that I just feel like shouldn't even be in football, because you have to control your own destiny. You have to be the aggressor on the football field and, you know, put your team in a position to win. And also you put ownership on those players to say, hey, look, the ball is in your hands now. You know, what you going to do with it? You know, are you going to move the ball downfield and win the game, or are you just, you know, just going to try to settle? So it also it builds confidence in your players.
Speaking of confidence, looks like Deebo Samuel's confidence is growing each and every week. What'd you make of the touchdown catch, Jerry, when he goes up and high points it ahead of Marcus Peters and makes a big play on fourth down?
I really like that, the way he attacked the football, but I need Deebo to make every catch. Every catch, anything that touches his hands, he should catch. And that's with all the receivers. It's the same thing. The conditions, you can't use that as an excuse. A wet football, you can't do that. You got to make, every time that ball touches your hands, you got to make the catch. You got to keep that momentum going. But with that touchdown catch, it was a really big catch for the Niners, and it just shows that this guy is capable of doing it all the time. So he just got to be, you know, just look at himself on film, maybe be a little critical and say, hey, look, whenever the ball comes my way, I'm going to make that catch, and that's it.
Jerry, when you're watching this team overall, when you look at the Niners, you think that they're the best team in the NFC. You believe that this was a preview of the Super Bowl, and so do I. But what would you like to see? Are you concerned with goal, his inability to make these field goals, or do you think it's just him getting healthy? Do you think it now he's finally got his center and his holder? What do you think about what are some of the concerns, in your opinion, to make this team better?
My thing is, it's like You never want field goals. I'm gonna be honest with you. You want touchdowns, but you know sometimes you got to be able to make the kick and do all that. You know, we always took the initiative that we wanted to put points on the board. We were going to score touchdowns. Then that made it a little bit easier for the kicker. Now, the only two questions I have is like those fourth downs and ones. I just feel like you got to leave it up to your offensive line and also your running back to, you know, get that 1 yard. We get those two plays, I feel like we might be undefeated right now. But and I'm sure, you know, those players, they're probably looking at it the same way. You know, they're probably saying that, you know what, we should be undefeated right now. But, you know, you just got to, you know, keep pushing forward, keep the focus, keep executing, keep getting better. And if you do that, you're going to score touchdowns and you're not going to have to rely on a field goal or something like that to win a game.
Jerry, before we let you go, I'm curious, if the Seahawks beat the Vikings tonight on Monday Night Football, they will officially take over the NFC yeah. West, making the Niners the 5 seed right. in the NFC. They'd be a wild card team. As a player, if you were on the Niners right now, how intently would you be watching tonight's game? How aggressively would you be rooting for Minnesota?
I'll be honest. I never like to root for another team. I look at it like you control your own destiny. You worry about what's going on in your house. If, you know, if the Seattle Seahawks should win the game tonight, so what? You know, so we got New Orleans coming up, then we got Seattle. So we pretty much, you know, control our own destiny. So I don't put a lot of stuff in watching other teams and hoping and stuff like that. I just feel like that's wasted energy. You have control of your own destiny, and it's up to those players to, you know, like I said, make those corrections and get ready for the next battle.
Well said. Now the last one for you, because there's a debate we've had going on in here. Would you rather be the 1 or 2 seed in the NFC-AFC and be banged up, or would you rather be a wild card and healthy? Basically what we're saying is, do you value the health or do you value the path more?
My thing is, you want home field advantage. Now, if that doesn't happen, now there's a different game plan, and you approach that in a different way. But the most important thing right now is to try to get home field advantage. If you do that, you know, now you only have to win 2 games at home and you go to the Super Bowl. So home field advantage always been a big focus for us over the years. And with the Niners, they're right in it. Yeah, it's going to get a little crazy and stuff like that. But if you have it in your heart and you have the desire to, you know, want to be the best, now is the time to really lock in and say, hey, let's go, guys. Let's go get this. Because, hey, we have a winning season already. The season is already. We got a winning season. And at the start of the season, I said the Niners, they're going to do something special this year.
Beautiful stuff, as always.
And this is their opportunity to do something special right now. Now it's just up to those players to just say, hey, let's dig those cleats in and say, let's go get this.
Hall of Famer, 3-time Super Bowl champ, 95.7 The Game Football Insider, the incomparable Jerry Rice with us here on 95.7 The Game. Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thank you for the time and the insights. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, happy holidays to you guys, okay?
Happy holidays to you as well. He got me. He got me with the
pregnant pause.
He's the GOAT.
He's the greatest.
He paused. I slid
pump,
in.
Pumped you. Pump, got you. Got you
off
your
feet. 1-2. Slid back out.
Nothing will ever be worse than my 3-time loser with the Joe Theismann interview. He got me 3 times. Joe is pumping me all day.
Theismann is the king of the pump fake. That guy will pump fake all day long. You have to sit there and you have to count to 2-1,000 with each pause. If you're waiting, he stops. You go 1-1,000. 2-1,000. And then I want to tell you about this.
Right.
It's like, there it is.
Right.
Thank God I was counting.
It's like the offensive lineman where you see him back-to-back false starts. It's like, don't you know the snap count? And the poor guy is like second-guessing himself and the twitching and the jumping and the leaning.
Twisting and the turning.
Oh, every time.
Jerry not mincing words. Not mincing words at all. He wanted to run it on 4th down.
Yeah.
We saw them throw that ball late in the game about 6 minutes ago, 4th and 1. They didn't want to try a field goal. It was about 50 or so yards. Didn't want to take the risk with Robbie Gould, so they figured we're going to go for it here. They went with they called timeout. They went shotgun. They tried to throw it over the middle. Garoppolo's pass is tipped. incomplete. Ravens spend the next 6 minutes marching down the field, kick the game winner with Justin Tucker. He's not mincing words.
No, he's not.
You wanted to run it with Raheem Mostert.
He did. And Raheem Mostert, let's face it, the guy had he had an outstanding day, one of his finest hours. And
his finest. That's a career high.
It definitely was. And you look at the third and the long two, you throw the ball, you understand, early in the game. That particular deal, this fourth and a short one, you look at it, you think, okay, and I understand not trying to run dibs into the heart of the defense.
Right.
It's slip, but he was killing them on the perimeters. He was killing them on the perimeter. They had everyone boxed in. They were playing single high safety, and they were still bringing guys in the box, but they were doing a great job of that, you know, release block where the tight ends act like, and he released to the widest guy. Fullback Hushek would come in there and clean up. And they had a lot of that bend back, but he would stay play side, where you run Cal Hushek where he's doing that wrap, and Raheem Mostert would stay play side. And because they were listening also much more Booger McFarland saying, Cal Hushek's going to take you to the ball. Saw that yesterday a couple of times. Like, okay, Kyle Shanahan, he's going through that self-evaluation. Let's go move this thing around. And you saw it, that bend back where they do, where Kyle Hushek and the running back, they start to the right, and they, boom, bend it back to the left. You saw Kyle Hushek just go to the right, and he bends back to the left, but the tailback stayed play side, and you saw defenses kind of scatter and gave them opportunity. So, yeah, I'm with Jerry. I know it's second-guessing, but I think Raheem Mostert was a factor. He was a man amongst boys. He was killing them on the outside the perimeter. I would have ran it.
Trivia question. You two are teammates.
Oh, boy.
The Rocker, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty. That's what I'm looking at right here.
Let's activate our twin powers.
Okay.
Wonderful. All right. Powers.
Let's do it.
19 carries, 146 yards, and a touchdown for Raheem Mostert. That is the most in his career. And it's the most rushing yards by a San Francisco running back since. And we're going to play a game of Clue. Name the running back, name the opponent, name the year. And it's an easy version of Clue. You two only need to get one of them right. There's the year, there's the opponent, and there's the running back. Now, if you already know the answer, you have to withdraw. Honesty and integrity above all else. That's what this show stands for. Classy show. Honesty and integrity above all else. So if you do not know, you two are in this together. Don't look at the text line. It's only going to try to trip you up. Chilton Auto Body 95795 if you want to try to trip them up. Who's the running back? The last time a Niner rushed for this many yards, the opponent in the year. You just got to get one of them right. So you have the two of you can work together.
Yeah,
three separate guesses.
I was going to think Breida Cheetah, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if he's had that kind of game. I was thinking Frank Gore initially as the safe play.
When in doubt, Frank Gore, or do you? Because Frank Gore was here the most years, and how long you got Raheem Mostert?
Remember,
yeah.
OJ played for the Niners.
Oh, yeah. It's a long time ago.
Tell you this morning that OJ was going to be a part of a trivia question today. Now, you have to ask yourselves, is Fortinball messing with us? Fortinball doesn't mess with people. But you got to ask yourself if another trivia question is coming.
That's good.
Take the risk.
Okay.
And while you two think about it, I will remind everyone, it's a day after NFL game, so no Bob in the Billions. Shout out our good friend Bob Myers. Shout out to all the great people out there. We love you. We hope you had a wonderful holiday. Bob in the Billions returns tomorrow, 8:55, here on 95.7 The Game.
At a Frank Gore, and it's been how long we can go to the history of this? Of the history?
He just said the last one to do it.
Longest since who? Most yardage since which running back?
Okay.
Most yardage since who? So it could go all the way back if no one's gone for more than that.
Yeah, well it's probably since Frank Gore, like you said.
Right.
Okay, got you. So Frank Gore, so who's been after Frank Gore? Carlos Hyde, Mint Moster, the guys that you have now.
Breida the Cheetah. Not much. Jerick McKinnon, I don't know if he would be the guy.
Hyde had some good years here.
He did. I mean, you're a former running back, so I'll defer to you. Ultimately.
Remember, it's not just the name. It's also the team and the year. We're a couple minutes into this. We haven't made a single guess yet.
Okay.
We're a couple minutes away from the end.
I'm just
you know, literally anything. You only have to get one of the three.
Yeah. I'd say Carlos.
You go Carlos Hyde?
Correct. It's correct. I have to bring this to an end. It is correct. It is Carlos Hyde, 193 yards in 2016 against the New York Jets.
We would have been here forever thinking about who we
did. About the team.
But you only needed to get one.
That was great. Carlos Hyde, good job, coach.
Roger Craig, Garrison Hurst, a lot of names showing up on the text line.
Yeah, but those guys.
And you threw me with running back because Colin Kaepernick had a game that was, 181 yards rushing?
Yeah.
What year was that?
That was against the Packers. Carlos Hyde, yeah.
Green Bay. Right.
And I didn't say running back. I just said most rushing yards since.
Oh, okay, I thought you said running back. Which
no, most okay. rushing yards since yeah, which player?
That was Green Bay.
193.
It's great though, Carlos Hyde. Nice pull.
And also, yeah. when Kaepernick did that, was that after 2016?
It was before 2016.
Right. Yeah. 193 against the Jets. Shout out the Jets. They tried hard in Cincinnati yesterday. They tried. That's the key is you try hard. And they tried really hard.
Did not see. They had playoff hopes still alive. I did
yeah,
not.
Right.
I did not see that.
Again, game. The math. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, you're right.
Val, I see you on hold. Everyone else that's on hold, we're going to come to you next. 888-957-9570. How would you grade Jimmy Garoppolo's performance? What did you think about Kyle Shanahan's play calling down the stretch on the 4th-and-1 at the end of the game, as well as the end of the first half? It's all on the table coming up next. Joe Lowe and Dibs back in a flash here on 95.7 The Game. But first, a reminder that hour was brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.